Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Bean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Bean.
Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds. This is Al Bean, and we are in our 10th week of a 13-week series in which we are dealing with understanding key concepts for ascension. Too often, having named an abstract concept, we believe we understand it. But concepts such as faith, compassion, ascension, and evolution are bandied about by many teachers, yet few have heartfelt understanding and experiential knowledge of these terms. It is in an attempt to make these terms more clear and dear to the hearts of our listeners that I have asked our beloved friend, Paul St. John, if he would compile some questions that are most frequently asked by those who email their questions into us, so that we could see which areas you are very interested in talking about. And Paul, thank you again for joining us. I know it takes a lot of work for you to get these questions written out, and I'm appreciative.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, Almin.
And please, dear, just start right in and tell us what you think we should be talking about.
Okay. Well, the first question has to do with being passionate about things. It seems to me that passion is largely based on one's belief in those things that that we're passionate about. And during times of questioning everything, I wonder how one can be passionate about anything if we know that the truth is always changing, particularly when we're growing very rapidly. So how does one maintain passion without becoming dogmatic or without believing something that is not true?
Okay, well, perhaps a good place to start is by defining passion in its correct use. So passion is actually one of the 12 pure pairs of emotional frequencies that are found in the cosmos. Passion, as the pure emotions are, is based on desire. So passion is the desire to know or explore. And as you can see from this definition, one of the components of passion is true humility, which is not thinking that we know. This is completely different from the overzealous preacher who has found the smallest sliver of mirror showing the infinite's face and dogmatically declaring it to be the only truth. Truth, as the reflection of the infinite, changes moment by moment as the infinite grows through experience, through our turning the unknown into the known, through our experiences. So truth, as the laws or structure of the life through which this change flows, recently changed. But this only occurs in large cycles of trillions of years, you see. So let passion be a light that beckons you across the distant horizon of knowledge rather than a dogmatic insistence on a point of view. For the unchangeable laws of existence can only be glimpsed at from our present vantage point. Our personal truth and humility, therefore, should go hand in hand. So what I'm trying to explain by this is that today's truth is not tomorrow's truth. It changes. Students seek truth, but by the time they find it, it could already be obsolete. Masters create truth spontaneously, moment by moment. So, you know, we had massive law changes of the underlying structure and truth, if you will, of the cosmos in August of 2006. Virtually everything we thought we knew started to have a different connotation as the polarity within the cosmos changes. So, you know, for us to think we know and therefore be passionate about it, that is actually contradictory. It's that which beckons us that we don't know that evokes in us the desire to know, which is true passion.
I see. That That makes it so much clearer. I mean, thank you.
I hope so. I was a little bit round and round in circles, but I'm hoping folks will get that.
Well, I got it, so hopefully everyone else does too. You mentioned within your answer the great changes that occurred during August 2006, reversing many of the laws of the cosmos. And one of the effects or consequences of that, I know that you've spoken about, is this change in the way growth occurs, whereas previously it was often difficult because we grew through overcoming obstacles. Now, since 2006, the ideal is to grow through support. And many students have asked us why the journey of ascension still seems to be so difficult when we're now in this new paradigm of growth through support. So I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yes. And for the folks out there, the book, The Ring of Truth, is where we describe why growth through opposition changed to growth through support. So I won't go into that too much, but, you know, I had an intense pain in my neck recently, for instance, because the neck is where reality and ideal meet. I just could not understand why it had to be so hard. And seeing those I love suffer has been very difficult. Mother finally gave the answer. The 96 pure emotions, which are pure states of being, pure heart energies, pure physical expressions, were each in turn used multiple times during ascension and descension cycles to try and get us to where we are today. In other words, to break free from those cycles. All of them failed. Somehow, we never learned the lessons, and thousands of descension and ascension cycles later, that which the, you know, Hindus call the in-breath and out-breath of God, it simply was time for the hard lessons. We chose to learn through pain so that we could be free and pursue our eternal growth.
Wow.
So we tried it the good way many times before. It seemed that impetus was needed.
Right.
To break through, because the cycles upon which the cosmos were a bit like looking at a cotton ball through a microscope. Mm-hmm. It was just going round and round and round in a circle. And Mother was interested in bringing us into an eternal ascension that, you know, was just continued growth, not down and up all the time.
Right. Well, thank goodness.
Yes.
I mean, I'm wondering if you can explain to listeners what it is that you are referring to when you refer to people as masters. What exactly do you mean?
Okay, well, a master is someone who is no longer in ego identification. And that is my definition. The mastery level that you achieve in ego identification is where virtually all teachers that are out there teaching are on, in that, you know, they've mastered certain elements in their life. But until someone has reached the silence of the mind where the dialogue no longer takes place, there still means that there is resistance to life. So there's a vast range of masters because there's actually, you know, two of the three huge stages of man's evolution is in a place of silence of the mind. There's all the way from those in God consciousness, who traditionally have been the masters of the Far East, to the very few who have obtained immortal mastery, to those even rarer few who make it beyond this into the God kingdom. So anyone who still has an internal dialogue is not, in my book, regarded as being in mastery.
I see. Can you go beyond this a little bit and explain what defines being in the God kingdom? You mentioned the God kingdom, and I know I use the word define loosely because I know it's a complex stage of evolution, but I'd like a little bit more of a description beyond what happens with the transfiguration of the energy fields, which I know you've described in depthly in some of the initial shows in this 13-week series. But what exactly is it, other than this, that makes the God kingdom such a profound leap in human evolution?
Well, other than that, because, I mean, that is sort of the basis of the definition. Because for humans, we have a very small bit of zero-point energy right behind, you know, the belly button in the life force center area, which until recently is where the life force center was. Mother recently moved it up to the heart, and I'm speaking of the mother of all creation, the goddess that gave us life, and the father is her first creation. But the point is that a god lives in zero-point energy. And the DNA transfigures. There are additional spirals of light in the blood that carries, that carries information back and forth between the pineal gland, which is the interpretive center of the body, and the heart center. There are awareness particles being emitted by such a being through the heart, so they become co-creators with the infinite, because awareness is the absolute substance from which creation takes place. And so in addition to that, you know, what makes it such a profound leap is we have three stages of evolution within man's evolution, you know, which is ego identification, God consciousness, and then the ascended mastery phases. And within each of those, there's three phases. The leaps between the three sections, the identity consciousness to God consciousness, for instance, is a pretty dramatic leap. But the one between evolutionary kingdoms, like man to God, that's a very huge leap. And until August of 2005, I've mentioned this before on some of the shows, we had only 9 of our ascended masters that made it across because they did not understand the value of emotion and the value of the Kundalini to awaken the emotion at the very time when you are so profoundly expanded that you feel hardly anything at all. But there's a huge chasm between the kingdoms, and it had to be broken with emotion. There was like a glass-like substance that had to be shattered. The first few ascended masters that were in the flesh that moved through had a pretty hard time of it. I mean, it took days to do that, just with intense emotion. Now it is a lot easier because they've opened the way. But, Paul, I see it's time for our commercial break, so please stay with us, listeners, and we'll be right back.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Thank you for joining us again on Walking Between the Worlds. And Paul St. John is with us today with questions that he has prepared for me. Paul, was there any portion that I didn't actually answer in that?
Well, I mean, actually, it was a much larger answer than I had expected. There are many things that I wasn't aware of that define a being who's entered into the God kingdom. I was actually looking for something on I'm not sure if it's a more basic level, but it had to do with something that most people experience, and that is just the diversity of perception of those people who are in the God kingdom. I'm wondering if if you can talk about that a little bit.
Okay, and just so the folks understand, the physical gods that we deal with that are actually in the flesh, they're not all at the same level, and I believe that's what you're referring to. And in addition to that, during the times when illusion was present within the cosmos, some of the gods actually masqueraded as good when they were not, beings like Thoth. You know, to my great consternation, because I always, I had a relationship with him that I cultivated and thought he was a friend, and he turned out to be an incredibly dark being masquerading as good, which was a terrible shock to me. So there's different levels of perception even in the God Kingdom. So, okay, now to get to that answer. So, the transfiguration of the fields constitutes the basis of the metamorphosis of a human into a god, as we described, and also that's illustrated in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. However, the physical gods of my acquaintance have multiple levels of accessing the profound changes this makes available to them, based on how much of their social conditioning they have released. And where social conditioning holds old realities in place, the effects are less profoundly seen or felt or lived. Another very important factor is that a new god must be living in eternal time to release the tension that is present due to linear time. It's like tension in the body. And it's only then that the true gifts of the new stages become fully apparent. See, part of the problem in perceiving how large the changes are is that the changes are coming so effortlessly now, as I previously pointed out. If we had had to go through the grueling training in a mystery school and were then told by those around us that we have arrived, a far greater appreciation of these vast steps would be given. So that's why there's these differences in their perception. There's gifts available. How much are they going to use or take?
So my expectation that entering into these advanced stages of mastery would automatically eliminate social conditioning and other forms of limiting perception was somewhat of a misplaced expectation.
Well, social conditioning has to be shed for the silence of the mind to come. So as a human to get into the God Kingdom, you have to have shed it. But first of all, there are gods that were born in the God Kingdom. They were created in the God Kingdom by the Infinite Mother. And for some of them, they have definitely reassumed ego identification. And so Mother had actually put in the Book of Life, which constitutes the laws of reality, that gods cannot be rulers with ego identification. Well, why would that be necessary, you know, if they shed it? Some of them had it. So for humans, however, we have to have shed social conditioning. The problem is that we can pick up portions of it again.
Right.
Let's say we shed it, we went into God consciousness. Over the years, old programming could make its way back in. So what it does do is give us the option to live above them. The average person in identity consciousness, without much work and much watching of their motives and origins of their decisions and actions, don't have that option. In other words, they're enslaved. The egoic mind enslaves us. Our belief systems are but the prison bars. The same applies for the silence of the mind. Someone in advanced stages has the option of being in silence. The changes in the fields provide those options.
Well, that's very helpful. I mean, thank you very much. I don't mean to pry too much further, but I know that this is definitely interesting to many of the listeners, particularly those masters who attend your classes and who are going through these very profound transfigurations themselves. So I'd like to just pursue this a step further and ask why, as you have explained very, very carefully, still old issues come up for individuals who have entered the God Kingdom, for example, issues such as being manipulated or feeling guilt, physical conditions seeming to have control over them, or still being burdened by the weight of self-reflection, which a few shows ago you explained is evaluating things based on external criteria.
Okay, well, I'll answer this a little more extensively than I have before. The events which will have seeming control over our lives fall into two categories. Number one, our attitudes, our responses to the world, social conditioning, and personal identity. So changes to these things are solely upon our shoulders. If we still have guilt, are able to be manipulated, etc., there's no other place to look but ourselves. Nobody will make our issues go away. What going into a higher kingdom means is gaining the ability to create massively higher vision immediately and on an exponential scale. So, in my own life, I found that it's truly possible for lifelong issues to disappear instantly. I just have to get the perception to see how totally out of sync it is with my highest identity as a being which is all things, and they disappear. But if one thinks that going into a higher condition will make him perceive certain things, he's mistaken if he doesn't do some work with it. In other words, there's still things to be uncovered. It will give the ability for anybody to see more, and vastly so. For things which were major obstacles before, you can spin on a dime and just let them go. But still, that's self-work. There's a choice required, and the choice is our responsibility, but it's easier because of higher perception to let them go. So what we do with it, what's in front of us, that's our choice.
I see.
The second category is issues that the world is dealing with, such as the illusion of the ability to be injured, which does not necessarily solely depend on our attitudes and perceptions. If we have just risen into God consciousness, and more particularly to beyond the human kingdom stages, which is the God kingdom, and again, we do explain the God kingdom in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, you know, welcome to the fact that you are now going to have to transmute not only your own stuff, but others. It's not that life is becoming suddenly just a piece of cake. What has become easier is the ability to solve it. You will get the opportunity to transmute things such as illness and disease for others. You know, I had a rib out a few months ago that was so painful, And I got something, an insight, which reduced the pain by 25%. Then the morning after, I had to get the remaining 75%, and then there was absolutely no problem immediately after. You get the perception, and the pain goes away. The fluidity that you will need to cultivate to do this will also, as a blessing, manifest in environmental circumstances where things are not, unless you believe they are, locked into place. I'll give you an example. Disease, cuts, issues can heal in an instant. That's the upside. The downside is that you will be given more things to solve because you are now one of those major pivot points upon which everything pivots. So, you know, an example of the way of living this way is I've adopted this beautiful little girl. She's now 8 years old, and in her 8 years, I've never had her to a doctor. She had to go through certain checks to come into the country because she's from Canada. But, you know, other than that, the prenatal care was so poor when I adopted her, her teeth had to be repaired. She has not been to a doctor. The one time she fell, there was a major cut that went all the way to the bone. This little immortal master, the flesh peeled open, hardly any blood came out, because there's not a lot of bleeding that goes on with immortal masters, unless they think it should be. But, you know, I took her, they cleaned it out. They wanted to put stitches in, but, you know, we didn't do it. I took her home, we held it shut, and it grew shut. An example, if we ask why we are not getting better in our lives, we must look to see if there are misplaced responsibilities on our part. Are we still saving others from learning their lessons? Feeling responsible when people aren't willing to help themselves, etc. Misplaced responsibility can, in fact, block assistance from coming to us because it leaks our energy. And we need a certain energy level to make reality change around us more rapidly. So, secondly, we take just this issue of assistance coming to physical life from higher levels, and there have been multiple layers of elements that had to be removed to make that possible. Because during the cycles of the fall, Mother had placed a thick membrane around physical life, because it was the pivot point for which all life would be lifted up. That not only could the hindrances not come in, but the help couldn't come in. And with my classes, we've been cleaning layer after layer, but it's like tidying a room. One doesn't just pick up one shoe and have a tidy room. But it's getting better. Another thing is that life has been speeding up, so it's been difficult to get the depth of the lessons we need to learn. It needs to be slowed down, but again, layer of work is required to slow something down like the massive movement of the cosmos. But we need to take time for deep, meaningful living to get those insights. And it's now time for a commercial break. Please join us again afterwards, and we will continue this discussion.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm, understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds, and this is Al Mean, and we have with us today Paul St. John. Paul, please continue the questions. We're on a roll here. I like the way this is going.
Okay. Well, me too, actually. You gave us a very good description of the God Kingdom and many facets of it before the break. And it does sound like there's an awful lot of responsibility for those who have entered into such a high level of being. So, I'm wondering if those who have entered this stage should be wary of making mistakes. It sometimes frightens me, for example, that I perceive everything as possible, even certain things that I know are no longer options now that I've entered into these advanced stages of being.
The answer is yes and no, in that the ones that are entering the God Kingdom in the flesh right now from the human kingdom, they are the pillars of the temple. They are the ones that were hand-picked by Mother to be the leaders of this time in which we are attempting to bridge realities between the physical and the non-physical and bring Mother's palace, which is called the New Jerusalem in Revelations, into a reality in which we can see it and touch it and be fully aware of it. So they are truly those way showers. A great deal of what they think are their mistakes are in fact not mistakes. In some instances, it's to prevent them from making mistakes. They might make a mistake, make someone mad, the person ups and leaves, but it was meant to be that way so that they can fulfill this high destiny. The major light workers, a lot of their mistakes are, in fact, there for their own protection. But to some degree, the issue is there that the greater the responsibility that's given, the greater the freedom to be self-determinative, but also the greater the chances of making a mistake and the greater the consequences of a mistake. So let's just see what I have just said. When one enters these high kingdoms, you have a greater ability to help steer a larger portion of the cosmos. For example, the masters that come into my classes, some are coming in ego identification. When they come in, they are in ego identification not much more than 3 to 4 days. By the end of that class, they leave in mastery, meaning the option to be silent in their mind. However, they are called upon to do incredible work on behalf of the cosmos, to find new information that no one has ever found before. For that, we can't go to the higher kingdoms. We can't ask the assistance of the angels or the dragons or the lords of light or anyone, because it's in the physical where the unknown meets the known that all true new knowledge is gained. And so it is here that they can make a really big difference. Well, part of the reason that few people enter the classes that I give, you know, they're small, because there's some people that are not ready for the class, and we will know if you call us, you know, she'll let me know if there's a problem. I will let you know. Please ask again in a few months. But the classes are, in a way then, by invitation. But those that come, that mother has picked, it's not me judging their worthiness. I ask. So with the ones that mother has chosen to be in those classes, they are do such incredible work in obtaining insights that are needed to pivot the cosmos. They also participate in writing in the book of life per mother's instruction to change the laws that alter all reality. Their gift in exchange is an incredible enhancing of consciousness. So it cuts two ways. You know, where we have these advanced stages, we have bigger responsibility. But where we have bigger responsibility, it brings on more advanced stages. So, and to whom much is given, much is expected, but from whom much is expected, much is also given. So, you know, being open to all possibilities is good. Just hold on to them lightly and listen to your heart. The biggest area where people make mistakes is to think they know. And one would hope that someone that has reached the God kingdom has got the humility to acknowledge that all life is equally important and that they don't know. That the vast majority of life out there is for any being unknowable. It's from this true humility that we live our highest truth, listening to our heart. The warrior of light always leads with their heart. And then if a mistake is made, it usually turns out for our better interest.
Wow, Almin, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
You're welcome.
Well, it's hard to know where to go after that. We're discussing concepts of ascension and trying to help people understand the process of ascension a little bit more as you are sharing it with people. There are some things that can get a little bit confusing with the complexity of the information that you are giving. For example, in your book, The Ring of Truth, you discuss the effect of the reversal of polarities within the cosmos in August of 2006, as we've talked many times about on this program. And how has that this affected the different healing modalities, essentially reversing how healing energy used to be attracted to diseased energy and now will repel it?
Yes.
However, you've also stated that disease no longer exists as the etheric or the real aspect has been removed by Mother. So I'm curious if you could maybe explain that, or why, if disease no longer exists, how healing energy can be repelled by it.
Okay, much the same way that the hypnotist can tell the person that is in front of him that his hand has been placed in boiling water, and the skin will blister and be red, and you can get burns on the skin as though it has actually been in boiling water. You see, so if we hold on to patterns of thought, for instance, the hypnotist has put a pattern of thought into someone's head that if their hand is in hot water, it's going to blister. But there's no hot water. The person's lying comfortably in a hypnotic state on the couch. Disease is a lot like this. And when we come back from this commercial break, we will explain how disease as a reality no longer exists.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, and this is Al Mean, and I have Paul here with me, and we are discussing that disease as an overall illusion no longer exists. It can still be held onto as distortion by individuals. However, the nature of it is no longer real. In other words, the real part of disease has been removed by the mother of all creation, as the cosmos itself no longer was diseased, because there were beings that represented illusion. And when the illusion was removed, and it was solved, basically, so they at that point became obsolete, and they had a choice to step off that treadmill, but they had identified so much of their as a role that they actually wanted to continue to play the bad guys on the stage of life and were done away with in the spring of 2007. So in other words, they were like a disease in the cosmos. There were discordant frequencies up until that time in the cosmos of anger, pain, fear, protectiveness. Those discordant frequencies can be regarded as disease of the cosmos. And there were portions of the infinite's being that the infinite mother did not know whether they were hers or simply reflections created by the freedom of choice that she gave to the beings that she created, that were there. What was their stuff? What was her stuff? It's only when that was solved that the cosmos itself was no longer disease. So the cosmos no longer being diseased, disease now ceased to have indwelling life to it. Therefore, individuals could produce it as an illusion, but as a whole, it does not exist. Some still find disease useful to inform them which portions of their lives need to be changed. You know, if you have a sore neck, then you know that your ideal and your reality is at odds. So you need to get either the reality changed to the ideal, or you need to readjust your perception and acknowledge the value of what is before you. So it's a useful tool to inform which portions of life needs to be changed. The goal, however, is that we become so sensitive to the signs in our environments. You know, and as we've given these in the dream symbols presented in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, that we do not need more heavy reminders when we are out of step with the infinite perfection. In other words, we're either going to listen to the whispers or we're going to pretend to have a disease so we can get it, which is the old 2x4 between the eyebrows. To explain just a little further on this issue of the real part being removed, I have on some of the previous shows given a similar example. Let's say I have my teacup on the table. Let's say one of the angels or spirits or beings that I work with are allowed into my house and they come to the table and they wish to use the teacup. They would remove its etheric part. What would be left is an unreal teacup that has no indwelling life, because in my kitchen somewhere an angel is sitting drinking tea. So the teacup, having its indwelling life removed, it's like war. The indwelling life of war has been removed by Mother. So war is not real. But those that believe in it participate in it. And to them, you know, a death is very real indeed. The cup on the table, what will happen to that? Well, it will sometimes seem to be there, sometimes it won't, sometimes it might not be there at all for long periods, and then it will simply disappear. Something without indwelling life cannot survive long. So disease's indwelling life is removed, as well as war. Illusion is a choice, because as a cosmic reality, all portions of the mother's being that she was unsure whether this was hers or not has been identified, and she has claimed that which is hers, and she's rejected that which she is not. So, thank you. That was a good question.
Well, that was a really good answer. Thank you, Almeen. For following this, I wondered if you could explain why some healing modalities that function on energy as opposed to light and frequency still seem to work. Is it one's belief that makes them still effective?
Well, yes, because anything that relies solely upon energy or energy-associated symbols will not work. If, however, a practitioner of a modality which does rely on energy has great faith in it, it will. And the reason for this is that the faith is in fact a light-based form of healing, which, as we have stressed in all our sections that we've discussed on Belvaspitaal, it's very effective at this time. Now, I just need to fill the folks in, if they haven't listened to our previous shows before, that in August of 2006, something changed. Previously, energy work did work very effectively because opposite energies attracted one another. Opposite physicality attracted one another. That's why many light workers were attracted to homes that were totally dysfunctional. And we attracted many turkeys into our life, if you will, you know, that were dishonest, that were exploitive. And that's because opposite matter attracted. People at that time used to ask me for my email list and say, we want to send light and love to the people in the Middle East. And I tell them, well, it won't work, you know, because opposite light is repelling. It'll make more chaos. Opposite love, you know, frequency and hate, they're repelling right now. This was until August. And they would say, well, okay, well, we're going to send love anyway, but that would actually create more rage, more fear, in an attempt to reject these opposite frequencies in light. When the poles reversed, opposite energies now repelled one another. Healing energy would be repelled by diseased energy, which in fact is the definition of what disease was, the repelling of the healing energies that fill the cosmos. So it would have caused disease. Because of that, in August, Mother sent me to cut the power lines behind the symbols that were being used in any healing modalities that use symbols connected to an energy source so that well-meaning practitioners would not cause the disease. Now let's look at what faith is. Faith is, now it's been described by myself in the Ring of Truth that previously faith was a mindset that recreated itself. Now, if we took that as a definition, faith believes that your hands will heal. So that recreates itself. It makes itself happen, and hence you're healing not with your modality per se, but in with your faith, which is perception-based. Perception, information, anything like that has to do with light. On the other hand, faith has become a deeper issue. It is that we pull towards us that which we love. Faith has now got a heart-based component. And the reason for that is explained very meticulously, how we create our circumstances when love is sent out from us and we trust that that love will be fulfilled. That we trust that that which we love will be there. And so what happens is that our love actually creates what we love. This is now our instruction from the Infinite Mother. The purpose of life now is to live a life creating what we love. Toltec Nahuals have for eons called this to live a path with heart. If we live something that makes our hearts sing, we have just lived our highest truth. My light family that has gathered today to listen to these words, thank you for your presence. We can always feel you as though you are around us. And I must sign off now, but we hope to be with you again soon. Thank you, Paul.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Meade.